You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The photographer Gary Winogrand once said, "There's nothing more mysterious than a fact clearly described." If you'd like to know what he meant by that, visit the Metropolitan Museum of Art, where a major retrospective of the late photographer's work will be on display until September 21st. Jeff Rosenheim, curator in charge of the Department of Photographs at the Met, joins us now. Welcome back to our show.
Good afternoon.
Winogrand is known for taking photos of daily life, often on the streets of New York, but also in American suburbs. What do his photographs reveal about New York in the 50s through the 70s?
It's a vibrant place. The street was filled with activities. Winogrand's idea was that what other medium could look at the changing shape of every street corner, and the folks on the street were filled with energy. And he believed that this medium could capture it.
Are they very different from his images of other parts of America?
Well, they work with the same idea that there is some sort of poetry on the street. And as the street changes from one place to another, yes. But also he dealt with the spaces of the West and the characters that are in Houston and Dallas and Fort Worth or Los Angeles are different. And they define their place as New Yorkers define its.
When I took photography in college, it became apparent to me very quickly that when I went out to the streets to take pictures, my pictures weren't as good as Gary Winogrand's or Robert Frank's or Henri Cartier-Bresson's. And yet I was looking at the same things they were looking at. What did he see that most of the rest of us can't see?
Well, he worked at it really hard. He developed a technique. And he probably explored the world a little bit more persuasively than any student could have. And I think it had to do with believing that things happened for him in a way that it didn't happen for other people.
He died fairly young. Do we know how many photographs he took during his career?
Tens and tens and tens and thousands, probably hundreds of thousands. And I think we don't know, but he made more than probably anyone of his generation.
The exhibit includes a number of photographs that were printed after his death that have never been exhibited before. He just liked to take pictures but didn't like to print them?
Well, at the end of his life, he was behind. I think many artists are. He didn't expect to die of cancer as quickly as he did. He was diagnosed, and in just weeks, he passed away. He liked to be on the street. That's where he felt most alive. It was like breathing for him. And he was 2 years behind in the mid-1970s. And when he died in 1984, there were several thousand reels of film that were processed after his death.
6,600 reels of film left behind. That's an awful lot. Did you have to look at all of those negatives?
Well, the process of editing the work and doing the research, the scholarly activity, took many years, and it was done primarily by Leo Rubinfein, who was the guest curator of the exhibition, which came from SF MoMA, worked with a team of people, including Sarah Greeno at the National Gallery, and I observed a little bit on my own. But it took those efforts to be able to come to an understanding, a thorough understanding of what this artist did.
Did he do most of his own printing? Because it's apparent that he preferred taking pictures to printing.
He did much of his own printing, but he also worked with printers, as most photographers, including Robert Frank and Cartier-Bresson. He didn't print his own work very often. Robert Frank, Walker Evans. It was not that uncommon to want to make more pictures and allow the printing to another.
And then there are other photographers who love the magic that occurs in the darkroom.
To each his own.
He published a book of his work in 1975 called Women Are Beautiful. He took a lot of pictures of women on the street, but so do a lot of photographers. And yet he seemed to capture something. He said that he didn't know if all the women in the photographs were beautiful, but that in the photographs all women were beautiful.
Yeah. So I was his student. Actually, in the late 70s and early 1980s. And This was the time of the sort of beginning of women's rights in the feminist era. And he was certainly looked at as a kind of voyeur, an unapologetic voyeur. But those pictures of women, he was fascinated by women, and he made great pictures of them. And how he used the camera was about exploring, you know, the public faces, and our bodies are part of that, of all of us.
Did people get upset when he walked right up to them and took a picture?
I think he was very charming. I think he was somebody that you understood was doing something. And he had a kind of poetic personality.
One photograph, Central Park Zoo, New York, 1967, depicts an interracial couple holding monkeys like children. It contains both daily life in New York and an aspect of the bizarre. And although it's quite straightforward, it has been interpreted in many different ways. How would he have wanted us to interpret it?
Well, I think he embraced ambiguity. I think that's part of that quote about the mystery of a fact clearly described. It's hard to read the picture without using interpretive tools. One of those tools is to know that there was an animal handler in the picture, that they aren't a couple, and humans don't have primate children that look like monkeys. And the thing is that it's a time when races were mixing in ways publicly that they had not before, and it's complex to understand what the picture is about.
Well, you need to be told. Otherwise, you see a very good-looking couple, one of them a black man, holding monkey babies. That could be really fraught with all sorts of other kinds of interpretation.
Yeah, and I think Winogrand would say that the picture's meaning is partly connected to the questions it asks and doesn't answer. And isn't that okay that art could explore issues of chance and ambiguity?
My guest is Jeff Rosenheim, curator in charge of the Department of Photographs at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. We're talking about an exhibit of Gary Winogrand's photographs that is currently on display at the museum. It's be running until September 21st. The exhibit has three sections, Down from the Bronx, A Student of America, and Boom and Bust. How does each section relate to a period of his art and life? And do we see it changing over the course of his career?
Of course. So the first two sections cover the same period. The Down from the Bronx looks at New York itself.
But mostly Midtown New York, not the Bronx.
Not so much from the Bronx. There are pictures made in the Bronx Zoo, and there are certainly photographs made at Coney Island. But it's mostly New York. And, you know, that's where he lived. It's where he worked. He liked the context, the changing light in the canyons of the city. But the second section looks at the same period, 50 to 1971, as he's moving west and is exploring the country. And it's important to see them in dialogue. The pictures made primarily in 1964 as he's moving through the country are really interesting. It's a superb set of pictures. The last section deals with what happens from 70 until the end of his life in 84.
And they're darker. Are they darker because his mood was darkening?
Well, we are in the post-Vietnam era, or end of the Vietnam era, and we see him beginning to teach, and he is moving west to Chicago and then Texas and then ultimately Los Angeles. It's hard to characterize his mood as being dark. That's when I met him in 79 and knew him in 80 and 81. And he was, perhaps there's a little bit of despair, but the culture was shifting.
Now, the reason I ask is he was close friends with other artists like Dan Arbus, for example, who became a lot more famous than he. And I was wondering whether he felt that he should have been dealt with equally with some of these other photographers who he was just as good as.
Sure. Well, I think Winogrand's name, of all of the artists of his generation, Friedlander, Arbus, Robert Frank, Walker Evans, Helen Levitt, he is now, I think, primed for being one of the most notable artists.
But that's now.
That's now. I don't think if there was any despair or darkness in him, it was because others at the time had achieved something he had not. He was an artist. I think you know that when you look at his work. He was not well represented by galleries. He didn't sell that many pictures, but his work continues and then and now continued to turn other artists on.
So his influence has come after his death?
Well, it's continuing to come.
He worked as a photojournalist for magazines like Sports Illustrated before he focused largely on doing fine art photography. What was his take on photojournalism, and did it influence the kind of work he did on his own?
Sure. Well, he began that way in the early 50s, and those pictures that he made are different from others. His Sports Illustrated pictures and covers are superb. And the work that he did, though, eventually didn't satisfy him because he didn't believe in all of the goals of journalism at the time, which is this sort of one world that the camera could solve the problems, and that journalism was pretty much of a optimistic medium to sell papers.
But he also has images of political protests. There's even a photograph of John F. Kennedy at the Democratic Convention.
Right. And we don't really know exactly how those pictures were meant to be seen. But he was interested in politics and explored it. But he ultimately gave up on journalism both as a means to support himself, but also as a medium for a thinking artist working with the camera.
The exhibit also includes artifacts from Winogrand's life, like letters from one of his wives, postcards from friends, a Guggenheim Fellowship application. Why include those?
Well, it's, I think, a belief that the residue of an artist's life in different forms can inform, in a retrospective exhibition, the experience of those who come to the museum. Otherwise, it's just images, and the book can do that, of course. But what's nice to see is family pictures, his Guggenheim application, the advocates for his Guggenheim, and I think it adds color.
You mentioned earlier that he liked ambiguity. Is that one of the reasons he didn't love being a photojournalist, because photojournalists can't be ambiguous?
It's hard for them to suggest that the picture is not in control of the subject. And he accepted the fact that on the street, in everything he did, that part of the mystery was how things come together. He wanted to throw as many balls in the air as he could, and some of them he allowed to roll away.
Well, I'm looking at the photograph on the cover of this gorgeous catalog, and this is a perfect example of the kind of thing that Gary Winogrand did. It is a couple who are walking down the street, and yet we want to know about them.
You can't know that much. You can know that they're having a good time, and so is the artist. The confrontation, you know, that seeing is in the language of photography, is about pointing. And it's also about discovery, and it's in that picture.
It's also about leaving things out, isn't it?
It is about editing in and out, and where the edges of the frame is what somewhat defines the photographer.
We have put a slideshow on our website with a handful of images from the exhibit. Unfortunately, it's only a handful, but I guess that's the reason that people should go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art to see the complete retrospective. But if you want to get a taste of what we've been talking about and what you will see, I think this is a good beginning. I don't know how we chose the ones we chose, but I think pretty much every photograph that you've exhibited here is interesting in its own right.
Well, I think so too. And he had a voracious appetite to look at this world. I think it's very instructive. If you want to know what photography is for, what its sort of deep structure, Winogrand will challenge you.
He loved to also do photographs that looked almost overwhelmed, he said, with a lot of people in them, because they suggested community or another side of life that's different than just taking a portrait of a couple of people.
Well, for him, photography was not a synthetic medium. It was inclusive. It was complex. It was about the realities of life, and it was not it was a different type of interpretive art.
Jeff Rosenheim is curator in charge of the Department of Photographs at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. The Gary Winogrand retrospective will be there until September 21st. Does it move to another museum?
It does. It goes across the Atlantic to Paris, where it will be on view at the Jeu de Paume, the beautiful building in Paris.
And then there's this gorgeous catalog that was edited by Leo Rubinfein, also with contributions by Sarah Greenoff, Susan Kismarek, Aaron O'Toole, Ted Papa George, and Sandra S. Phillips, published by San Francisco Museum of Modern Art.
Yeah.
Was this show at San Francisco before?
It did. It began there.
Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.